Hey, Mr. One Stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
To Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Schulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
And here we are on a very, very warm February afternoon. It's weird. It's like 7 degrees outside. And
but there's snow everywhere.
And for you Americans, that's like...
I have no idea.
I don't know how that's Celsius... The Fahrenheit thing works. It's not important.
Put it into Google.
It's like crazy mild for February. It was a nice drive down here. No traffic. Just cruising along, listening to a podcast. I've been listening to this podcast. I want to shout it out. It's called... I don't even know what it is. It's by this guy called Andrew Hickey. He's British, and it's like called The 500 Songs That Shaped Rock and Roll.
Oh, and I need to listen to that.
I've listened. I'm already on episode like 148, and I started listening, I think, a month and a half ago.
Wow.
It's all I listen to. And it starts like, because every episode is like a song. So like currently I was driving down here and I'm on Hey Joe by the Jimi Hendrix Experience, mm-hmm. but I'm already 48 minutes into the episode and he hasn't once mentioned Jimi Hendrix yet. He's just only talking about the obscure blues version from 1929 that influenced this other thing, that influenced this other thing. And then he talks about like the chord progressions and the chord, like stuff that I get all excited about. He's talking
about like you.
Yeah. He even kind of looks like me too. He's just a big man with a beard. And I listen to this show and I swear, I think I like when I think I know everything. Oh man, I don't. This guy, the information this guy has is insane. I cannot recommend this podcast enough. So I think it's 500 Songs That Shaped Rock and Roll. I'm sure if you Google it, Andrew Hickey, the picture is like it's like a picture of a jukebox. I cannot recommend this podcast enough. I am obsessed with it.
And when you get obsessed about something,
yeah, and like I said, I've listened to over almost 150 episodes, and it's maybe only been a month and a half. I started listening like right before we went to New Jersey. Like it wasn't that long ago. So I can't recommend it enough. I was listening to that on the way down.
Well, the last episode of a podcast I've listened to, and I'm going to recommend it to you.
Ooh,
particularly.
How fun.
It's this big podcast. It's one of the biggest in the world. They're up for a few nominations on podcasts. iHeartRadio or whatever. It's Smartless.
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
Well, I've listened to the episode with Sir Paul McCartney.
I also listened to that not very long ago. What's funny is that I somehow did not know that podcast existed until I think it was like last summer. And so it's Jason Bateman and Will Arnett, who were both on Arrested Development together. Did you watch Arrested Development?
No, I didn't.
That is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Sean Hayes.
And Sean Hayes, who I know as Jack from Will and Grace, which is another one of my favorite shows of all time. Do you ever watch Will and Grace?
Well, yeah.
So Will and Grace and Arrested Development. And they're funny, the three of them together. Oh. The way Will Arnett like rips into Sean Hayes, and he always makes jokes about how Sean Hayes' like father abandoned him when he was a kid. He's like, "Hey, Sean, like you've seen the back of a man before, because it's like your father walking away." It's like really like it's good. It's a great show. And I listened to that McCartney one, probably like in the last few months. It's very cool.
Yeah, I like the fact that he has like two personalities. Thank you.
You're too French today.
I am. One who's the famous icon and the normal guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
So yeah, two podcasts that will. We're boosting up the competition.
Yeah, we're plugging very famous podcasts. And this rock and roll one that I listened to, I didn't realize how popular it was because the host of it, this guy, Andrew Hickey, was featured on Rick Rubin's podcast. So Rick Rubin's like the big hip hop producer from another big Jewish guy with a beard, who did all, like, he founded, was it Def Jam? I think. He did all the stuff with the Beastie Boys and all that in the 80s. And, you know, he's worked with Jay-Z, everybody. He had the host of this podcast on his podcast, which I didn't even know Rick Rubin had a podcast. Now I'm going to start getting, there's so many good podcasts out there.
As long as you put your playlist, yeah. I'm talking to the addicts out there, and you put Addicted to the Needle first in the playlist, we're fine with you, you know, cheating on us.
Well, instead of talking about other podcasts, let's do our own. So what are we starting with? I see we already have one queued up on the turntable here. Why don't you introduce this one?
First of all, I think I've gone through my wish list of Quebec and French stuff. Because I can't think of another. That was the one left.
This was on the list. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've known you a long time, and you've gotten most of them. I think all of them.
I think that's the last one on the list. And technically, he's French.
I actually think he's Belgian.
Oh,
I think. I think that might be true. I think he's Belgian. So his name is Bruno Lez. Is that how you say it? Lez, like L-E-Y-S. Bruno Lez. And this is a song called Dans la Galaxie, so in the galaxy. Now,
so the interesting part about this record is, well, you know, I got the information secondhand. I didn't verify it anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's our friend Daniel Napoleon 67.
Napoleon 67.
I think who told me this. So apparently... So this record is on La Compagnie, which is
it's the name of the label. It's the company, La Compagnie.
So it's a Quebec label or it's a French label?
So I think it's a Quebec label that mostly released
French stuff.
Like they would pick up, you know, it was kind of like how we had Quality and Rio and Barry releasing American records in Canada. It's kind of one of those things where it's a Canadian label that was leasing Belgian and French record, because I'm thinking like
France Gall,
like Zoy's on this label, mm-hmm. and like the one you always see every flea market is like Gilles Dreux, which like it's not remotely good. And then there's that version of Give Peace a Chance, which is funny. I think the band is called La Compagnie, and it's on this label. It's around.
It's a Quebec label
that distributed European recordings.
So the story or the rumor goes, this song we're going to play was released only in Quebec without the knowledge of Bruno Lez.
Right.
He learned about it, like, I think decades
later. Because I think it was released in Europe, like, with, like, a picture sleeve, which that definitely didn't happen here. But I think it came out, like, with a, like, there's a European
really, pressing. Really? Because I've never heard of, like, the European pressing.
So, I think there is. Well, I'll check while we're listening to the song. So... anyway, the reason why we are featuring this record today, I think, why don't you do the honors of...
So through our digging trip...
If you listen to the last two episodes, you will know about our trip to New Jersey we went on.
Exactly. So we had to split expenses, and we went back and forth between gas and hotel and food.
Restaurants and currency exchanges and PayPal and records. Like, there was a lot happening.
And basically, you borrowed a
substantial amount of money.
A decent amount. And... that's basically how you're paying me back.
Yeah, I basically just said to you, I was like, you know what, I'm like, why don't you take this 45? And you're like, well, you didn't want to sell it to me before. I'm like, yeah, but now I just, like, I don't want to have to give you the money back, so I'll just give you the record.
So here's the reason, the real reason why I was hesitating. So I was, before I put my hands on this copy.
Yeah.
Danielle was telling me, because I told him that was the only French record.
This has been on your want list for almost as long as I've known, like forever. Yeah. And I've only had it for a few months, and I remember I told you when I found it, and I this is something that I would, the next copy I find, I'll hang on to. And I mean, I would have hung on to this one, but it's like, if I was going to sell it to anyone, it would only be you. Like, I wouldn't put this for sale online. Like, this is something that's directly out of my collection. Like,
well, so. I remember when you, when you were in, you were in my debt.
Yeah.
you told me, I'm pretty vulnerable right now. Yeah, so name exactly. a record and I'll probably pass it along.
There you go.
So you got the idea about this record.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, I didn't even know you owned it.
I could have sworn I told you I had it.
I forgot.
Anyway, whatever.
So.
And I figured you'd be so excited, but.
The reason I was hesitating, because it's been on my wall list forever.
Decade at least.
Is Danielle told me that the reissue sounds even better than the original.
Right.
Excuse me.
All good.
So. But, I'm a purist. I like the original. And this copy sounds amazing.
It's brand new.
But I don't know if you're like me. When you find like a real Northern Soul record, for example, and you know it's been reissued,
yeah,
it's less desirable for me. I don't know why. Because I know anybody can have it now.
Yeah.
And it takes away. I'll still go for the original.
Oh, for sure. I find. No, it doesn't really bother me. I'm a purist too. It's like I love the original pressings, obviously. And I think we've discussed this obviously at various times on the show. It's like I think I own maybe one or two bootlegs. Like they're not even reissues. Like they're just like those like cheap 70s, like were made in England to look like American releases.
Yeah.
But to me, actually, I find it's like the other way around. I find if it's been reissued, the original tends to go up in value, which is odd. And the reason it would have been reissued is because it's so in demand. But yeah, I mean, look, it's like, yeah, it's like if you go to like some night and like the guy's playing all reissues, but like who cares? It's just like it's freaking music. Like,
yeah, but what gets me excited is a record that
is 60 years old. Yeah.
No, that's unknown.
Yeah.
And too obscure.
You're good at sniffing out. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's talk about the record.
Dans la Galaxie.
Dans la Galaxie. This is a space agey, four out, psyche freak beat type of record.
From 1969. It's like, yeah, it's so you. It's very, very Pat. You know, it's, you put on your space helmet.
I do, yeah.
Oh, I'm so, sure you do.
So I have to slip it in a DJ set. I have to find the perfect place because it's not a dancer,
no,
per se.
No.
So it's a challenge as a DJ.
But it can work. It can work. It can work for sure.
But it, addicts out there, when you hear it, you'll understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should listen to it.
Yeah, and even though you were hesitant, I did the smart thing of just bringing it to you. And I said, oh, why don't you just like look at it for a little while and listen to it? And then I believe you sent me a message. What did you say?
You're like, I think I was DJing.
Yeah, you were doing your flea market gig, and like you messaged me, and I think you called me like
a bastard.
Yeah, like a shady bastard or something. And I'm like, that was almost borderline, like you Jew. Like you were getting a little close there. Anyway, it's all in good fun.
And I also played it. I want to give a shout out to.
And didn't someone like say like, oh, that's such a cool track? Because I know for you, that's all it takes. It's just someone. Well,
Danielle was there, so okay, he approved. And
I think Danielle has a copy, right?
He does.
Yeah.
So I want to give a shout out to DJ Case, who I did a gig in Cornwall,
yeah,
part of the Cornwall Soul Club.
Which is crazy to think that Cornwall has a Soul Club, but shout out to Stacey, he's doing it.
Yeah. And we did, I'm very proud of the fact that we did a special Valentine's edition, and it was in Legion's Hall,
right.
One of those old
And it went buildings. Well, eh? Like
it went really well, but the thing I'm most proud of is that we
Raised money for the homeless?
We raised money for the homeless, and we almost sold out, I think.
That's great.
So the capacity was 80 people, and we had a full place.
It's funny. I'm just like looking at you and like the way you're holding the headphones. I know we're having a little technical difficulties. You look like, you know, that thing where it's like you're trying to like tap your head and rub your stomach at the same time. Like you just kind of permanently looked like that.
I think there's a problem with the wire. So
you're like holding
every really 10 seconds. I can one hear from headphones. One. It changed 5 times since I started my sentence.
All right, let's play this freaking record because we introduced it about 40 minutes.
I played it at the. We called it Heartbeat. It was really cool.
Which is a great name for a night.
For a Valentine's night.
You played this record.
We played this record.
And
I also I'm very proud that by the fact that we I think raised $560 for the homeless shelter in Cornwall.
Fantastic.
So this goes out to them and a local charity, Centraide, and I think we went through them. So
this was probably the first time this record ever played in Cornwall. So here probably. We go, Donna Galaxy.
Batman, il pourra s'envoler.
Reissue my ass. That sounds so freaking good.
Batman pourra s'envoler.
So
Batman will be able to fly away.
Yeah, well, we know how much you love when they talk about comic book characters and superheroes.
How freaking good is that?
Yeah, I hated listening to it again. You know, it's funny. I just looked. So I was mistaken. There is no European pressing. So
that's what I thought.
Yeah. So it is a very odd thing. It was just released in Quebec, although the guy was, I believe, Belgian. It's funny, the only copy for sale on Discogs is $13,000.
No, so, I think it's 13,000 euros.
Yeah, it's something. I hate the people who do that.
Well, it is incredibly rare.
It's the only one I've ever seen. And what's crazy was when I found it, it was in a situation where I probably could have gotten it for absolutely nothing. But I'm an honest guy. I'm an honest person. And I ended up, like, I told the guy I was getting it from, I'm like, it's worth. So basically, I paid what I traded. Like, it was the same value. I didn't get it for peanuts. So, but you know what? It's one of those things, like I said, I would have never been like, I need to come up with money, I'll sell this record. It was only because it's for you. Like, I wouldn't, it would never have left my collection. So now I have to find another one, which, you know, knowing me, I'll walk outside of this place, you know, I'll walk out of your house after and I'll trip on one getting to my car. So,
well, it would make sense because you were honest, it's going to be good karma in the galaxy.
Ooh.
You're setting good karma it's everywhere.
It's such a cool song. And you know what? It's like, It could so work, like, you know. Yeah, it's like you're doing like a French night, you know. It's like, it's obviously not like, you know, like a super, it's not like Train pour Memphis, like Memphis Train by Jenny Rock, but it's like, it's such a cool sounding record that it's like, I feel like dancers would just get in. It's so captivating.
Well, I have a set of the space agey stuff, Jean-Jacques Derry. Is that it, Jean-Jacques Derry?
Yeah.
You know, La Marche des Martiens.
L'Interplanétaire. Yeah, there's a few of these, like, crazy kind of... Oh, wait, that one you were just saying, yeah, the first one, Jean-Jacques, is that one that's called, Perry. Like...
Yeah, Jean-Jacques Perry.
Oh, because there's another
La
one
Panthère
on...
La Panthère Cosmique, the Cosmic Panther.
Okay, that one didn't come out in Quebec, but there's...
Eva.
I have a Canadian pressing... Oh, wait, maybe... Because I have a Canadian pressing of another record, I think, by the same guy, and it's called, like, Taille 42... Or something.
I have no idea. Anyway. Well, he's French.
Yeah, or it's psychonymic or something. Anyway, there's a lot of good amount.
Jean-Jacques Perry is track Eva. We featured on this on this podcast.
That's right. That rings a bell.
Was a sample for Dr. Dre.
Something like that. Like, well, that. Then there's the classics, Psych Rock by Les Hypersens, Psyché Rock, which was the Futurama theme.
Right.
You know, that's another kind of fun French spacey record. So now that we're done with the spacey record, which kind of ties into our New Jersey trip, didn't you have another record you wanted to feature from the trip? Because there were so many good finds that we can't not play another one.
Well, it's easy because I bought 10 records from that incredible collection.
Yeah.
So I still have some left that I haven't played, and I want...
Because I didn't hear everything you got, you know,
I was so selective,
yeah,
and that I had to, you know, shorten the list because I ran out of money, I still have some incredible stuff to play. Let's dive into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the first one we're going to play, I don't have a little sticker.
It doesn't even look familiar. I don't even, like, remember this record from the trip.
Well, first of all, the label is something I've never seen.
It's very cool.
This is the only funk record I bought.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't think either it's not on Discogs or not on YouTube. That's why I didn't make my little sticker.
Yeah.
And it's longer than usual. It's not like 2 minutes 30. It's a bit longer, but it's funk goodness. Oh.
So the label
and
is...
And of course, I chose it for the title.
Yeah, Love Bones. And it's got a date stamp on it. April 22nd, 1970. And it's on
right
the...
in the middle of the funk era.
Yeah, and I like how it just says Soul on the label. Like, there's just like little small... Just only on side one, it just says Soul.
What's the B-side called?
The B-side is a song called Let It Be Me, which is a cover. 8 million people recorded that song, most notably the Everly Brothers. There's that duet version by Jerry Butler and Betty Everett. It's just like one of those, God bless the day I found you. It's just like an old standard. I'm pretty sure Andy Williams recorded it. So Love Bones, the label's called Capri, not to be confused with the Montreal label of the same name. They were located at 3521B McKinney in Dallas, Texas. So now we know where this record is from. 5 minutes and 12 seconds long. That's it's crazy. Pretty long. That's really wild for a 45. So yeah, it's Love Bones by the Rondells, and underneath the Rondells it says sung by Rico. So probably a Chicano group, Texas.
Possibly.
You know, Rico with two C's. I mean,
we can revisit that after the song.
So let's listen to it. I don't even remember you picking up this record, so I'm excited to hear it. So ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on a podcast probably ever anywhere in the world, Love Bones by the Rondells with Rico.
You see, a man named Johnny Taylor cut this song. The Love Bone, yeah. Johnny Taylor, wherever you are, brother, I still love you. Don't get me wrong. I just thought I'd do it one more time so the people could understand what I'm talking about. Now listen, this is what he said. Listen, here we go. I've been working all day like I'm doing now. Do some more time. Mr. Foreman got to tell you I can't work too long, 'cause I got to get on home to my Love Bones. I know my baby's wake, 'cause she's anticipating, and I'm gonna get connected so our love will be protected. Listen, I'm going home and take my Love Bones. I'm gonna take. See, Johnny Taylor told me, he said, I was walking down the street the other day and a man walked up to me and he said, somebody's been making love to your old lady while you were out making love to somebody else. That was Brother Cal, see. Brother Cal told me, so I told him, I said, I don't care who's making love to my old lady. If Brother Cal wanna do that, he said, that's all right. But he don't know that I'm working his in between hours, baby. Yeah, yeah. Brother Cal, be cool, brother. Do your thing. Shorty Long was there, he knows. My man, everybody was there. But he said, also he said, you better take care of your homework just a little bit better before some other man come home and take care of it for you. Understand what I'm talking about? Well, let me tell you just one more time. He said, a little bit better before some other man come along and take care of it for you. Lord, you see, all this stuff you hear through the grapevine, see. Some of it might not be true, but you gotta dig on it, you know what I mean? Okay, dig. I told him, I heard it through the grapevine. But it's not true. It's not true. Ah, la la la, feeling good. I guess I've talked enough. Yes, sir. I gotta go on home. I'm gonna take all my love home. Listen, I'm gonna sock it to somebody one time. You know what I mean? Huh. Stand by, band. Can I get one time? Can I get one time? Okay, here we go. One time. La la. Listen, la la, feeling good. I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take all my love home. I'm gonna sock it to her one more time. One and one is two, ain't it, brother? One and one is two.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I'm gonna do it one more time. Here we go. I'm gonna take all my love home. I'm gonna sock it to her two times. Ben, are you ready? Okay, here we go. Two times. Lord, Lord, Lord. That ain't good enough. I gotta do it just one more time. I'm gonna take all my love home. I'm gonna sock it to her three times. Bam, one more time. Here we go, three times. Now that's good enough. I gotta go on home.
It's kind of a jokey record. So it's just a 5-minute like cover of Love Bones by Johnny Taylor.
Oh, it's a cover.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're constantly calling out Johnny Taylor. Then they're referencing the song Who's Making Love, which was a number one hit in 68 for Johnny Taylor. Then they randomly mention Shorty Long and then talk about a song that has nothing to do with Shorty Long, which is odd. And then, you know, they kind of...
I heard it through the grapevine.
They do like a little heard it through the grapevine. Yeah, this just sounds like... because the band is just playing the same thing over and over again. There's no change. It's just this like little vamp thing in E over and over again. And
well, that's what I like, because it's different.
It's like proto-rap, you know, because the guy's just spewing out whatever over a beat. You know, it's kind of...
Well, this has to be one take.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is one take.
Probably recorded on stage, too. Like, well, maybe not in front of a crowd, but yeah, like, this was just kind of the band just going and the guy just saying whatever.
And you understand why I like it, because obviously towards the end, there's that little drum break.
I wouldn't even call that a drum break.
Well, because he sings over it.
It's kind of just like a... You know, just he's giving the drummer some, but I don't think the drummer was good enough to get too inventive. But it's got that like amateurish, like, you know, they were just obviously kids who just really dug, you know,
James Brown
and Johnny Taylor and Marvin Gaye, you know, like the records that we see all the time. So it's kind of interesting when you hear these things that are like these, you know, it's like that other record we featured, I guess it was last episode, that thing from Alabama, like the Mersey Sounds, like, but they're from Alabama. So it's like these records, like this is kind of like that, where it's like this super localized Texas record that should have never left the little part of town it came from, and now we're listening to it in Montreal.
Well, would you pick up something like that? Or it's not.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. If I was in a record store, you know, I wouldn't go out of my way to buy it online, because I very rarely buy these kinds of things online anymore. But like, yeah, I would buy that if I was in a store and the price was right. And it seems like the price has kind of went nuts for this record. Yeah. So. But it's cool.
I am glad I own it.
Well, wasn't it your birthday just very recently?
15th of February.
I can't believe you're 40 years old.
Hey, you're too kind.
I am too kind. So I have a record that I would like to give you for your birthday, and I'm praying you don't have it. I don't even really know what this is or why it exists, but it's got a really barely a label, but it's cool. It's got two ladies dancing on the label. The band is called The Hungry Wee, and the song is called Hungry We A Go Go.
Oh, I definitely don't have that.
So it's kind of this really like
plain looking label.
Of course, we're going to play it.
Well, let me see.
The other side's called Come Dance With Us A Go Go. It's just,
a cool label.
Yeah, it's just like got
almost
cartoon
looks like
two ladies dancing.
It almost looks like the Beat Girl from Two Tone.
Yeah, kind of.
With go-go boots.
So I imagine this must have been some sort of like promotional item, just based on what it looks like. But yeah, like the band name's really tiny at the bottom, The Hungry Wee. And I remember
W-E?
Yeah, like The Hungry Wee, W-E.
Okay.
So like, anyhow, it's called Hungry We A Go-Go. All we ever do on this show is end up talking about food and how much you like the term go-go. So I figured...
Well, I'm gonna be a bit... what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna ask you for... one more gift.
Okay.
I don't know if you can give it to me. You're going to try not to hit that microphone again.
Whoops. It's an accident.
Go back 20 seconds and you're going to hear it.
All right. Well, at least, yeah, anyway. Yeah. Happy fucking birthday. Oh, well, round, right. I'm not supposed to swear.
Yeah, that's my third birthday gift.
Oh, frig off. So, yeah, this one's kind of, it's goofy, but I figured you're a goofy guy. So it's
I'll take that.
So, happy birthday, brought to you by The Hungry Wee with Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go.
For the money, two for the show, three to make ready and four to go, go! One's for the Laney, two's for Lawler's store, three gets T&S, American Valve makes four. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. One baby hollers for a shiny new flush crown. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. Or baby needs a thermostatic control valve. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. Laboratory fixtures that will turn off and on. Swing with us and man, your trouble is gone. Even if your baby wants a clover, a gate found. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready and four to go, go. Wholesalers sweating, pushing on their luck, specking crazy orders just to make a lousy buck. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. When discount shortened, then the inventory's long. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. Or we lose an order to some guy that figures wrong. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. We've been called some dirty names by others when we sold out old grandma for an extra 10. But who gets a short end when the factory sends it wrong? Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready and four to go, go. One's for the Laney, two's for Lawler's store, three gets T&S, American Valve makes four. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. When baby hollers for a shiny new flush found. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. Or baby needs a thermostatic control valve. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. Laboratory fixtures that will turn off and on. Swing with us and man, your trouble is gone. Even if your baby wants a clover, a gate valve. Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go.
Speak of one takes.
I don't know what that is. These guys definitely worked at the Howard Johnson on the side of the highway. It's just like a guitar and kind of beatnik-y bongo thing. Yeah. It almost sounds like something Ralph Alfonso would sing.
True.
It's just weird. I just figured, like, how odd. Like, it seems like it would be like a promotional record for something. I could have sworn. I just tried looking it up. I can't find anything about this record anywhere on the internet. So,
we could have featured it as a mystery record.
I think it is. I think maybe I saw something on Discogs. I couldn't find anything now. But yeah, like, because like it says like LHW at the top. I figured maybe it was like a promo record for like a grocery store or something. Oh, sorry, I touched the microphone again. whoops. Oh my God, what a war criminal.
That didn't last long.
Hungry Wee-A-Go-Go. It's kind of stupid and catchy.
I would put that in the Mad Mike category.
I don't know what I would put it in. It's like novelty-ish, because like, I don't really know if you can DJ that. It's kind of just goofy, but it's like, you know, it's like you and I both like have an affinity for like things that have go-go in the title. It's just so cool. Like, especially you, and like, we're in that Facebook group. You could post the picture of that in that Facebook group of go-go
Once
records.
I get back on the horse, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, God, I always forget that you're on a sabbatical from...
it's me.
Happy birthday.
Truly. And I'd probably surprise you and slip it in and make it work in a DJ set.
I'm going to hold you to that. I want to see a packed dance floor dancing to the Hungry Wee. Anyhow, I thought you would like that.
My favorite lyric.
There's some weird lyrics in there.
Lavatory fixtures that switch on and off and on.
Sure. Yeah. He says something about his grandmother. It's like one for the money, two for the show, three get Betty instead of get ready.
Then go.
Go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Well, that's a beautiful present.
Well, I figured you'd enjoy it because I'm not very good at gift buying, but I am good at finding records and giving them to people. All right. So where do we go from here? We had a silly song. So what's...
You want to switch over to my side?
Yeah, so I see you have more to feature from, I guess, still from the
New Jersey.
Oh my god, this trip will be supplying us with tunes forever, and eventually I'll sell you the ones I bought there. So
probably
they'll all come around. We'll be talking about this trip for years to come. What do you got lined up next?
So I don't know if you remember, but at one point during the day I just went, okay, so from now on I'm just gonna buy records with weird titles.
Yeah, that sounds like something you would say.
That's why we just listened to Love Bones.
Right.
So do you think that... I was listening carefully to the lyrics, and that has to be like a double entendre, right?
What?
Love Bones.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. No.
All right. So the next one, I'm going to read you my little description.
Well, sure.
So... mid-tempo R&B killer on B-side. It's a double-sider. Up-tempo soul R&B dancer on A-side.
So which side are we going to
So
hear?
I think we're going to start with the B-side. And we can always listen to
sides?
The... We could, because...
Why not?
When I put double-sider, it's because it's a true double-sider.
Well, this show is... about listening to records, so we'll listen to both sides.
So the it's from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Reading. I believe that's how they pronounce it. Reading. As a Francophone,
I read it. Reading.
You read it wrong. Reading. My brain. All right. My brain can't compute. Anyhow.
So you'll understand why I picked the title and I decided to listen to it. And even the name of the band is sort of funny. So the band is Ike Terry and His Lyrics. That could have been a name that Fake Moldy Aldi all day.
Oh, big time.
And I think we're going to play the B-side. Yeah, I think that's the B-side first. The title is Loving Papa.
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you the A-side's title right away. She's Got His Nose Wide Open.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So titles, I'm so good at finding the weirdest records.
That's a line that you hear in R&B songs.
What does it mean?
I think it's like, it means like you're suspicious. Because the song that comes to mind when I hear that is A Fool in Love by Ike and Tina Turner. She says that. That was like her first big hit. She got her eyes open. I don't know. Something. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why the band of the name is Ike Terry.
Hey, that's true, eh? Wow, what a bland label. B Records from Reading, Pennsylvania. So are we listening to Lovin' Papa first?
Yeah, that's the R&B. True R&B, sort of popcorn R&B.
I think
if
the guy's
I remember
name,
correctly.
It's so weird, because like, the guy's name is... It's written by Isaac Perry... But the guy's name is Ike Terry, but you can see on the other side they put a P over the T, because obviously it was like a spell. So this is just like a mess already, this record. It's like nothing was going right for Ike Terry. So I guess we're going to listen to Love and Papa first, which is technically, I guess, the B-side.
Yeah, it says two on the side.
It does say
there.
Two. All right, let's listen, and then we can discuss and flip it over. If you want to be
stop, so come on.
Orleans feel. So now even like the thing he's doing, the bah, 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 at the end sounds like mother-in-law. Like it kind of just reminded me, it's like Oop Oop Adoo with different lyrics.
So let me ask you this, and yeah. I want to know if you agree with me. This yeah. is as much my sound as it is yours.
Yeah, oh, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's, yeah, gritty. It's obviously very lo-fi. You know, it's like you can tell recorded in a garage or something. And it's interesting because I looked it up. And it's so funny enough, of course, somehow this record came out on two different labels. And apparently it's from 65. It's from 1965. Definitely sounds earlier than that. It's like
it is.
Does. Yeah, like the band. It very well could be from 1965. But, you know, these guys were stuck 5 years earlier with their sound.
Because there's a little doo-wop sound in the background.
Yeah, well, just like, but like I said, the do-do-do-do, it's very Mother-in-Law by Ernie K. Doe. Like, it just, the whole feel of this song is so New Orleans, like that, yeah, just the arrangement, everything about it. It's really cool. I'm curious to see what these guys do on the other side.
Well, flip it over, my friend.
So this is,
that's actually the A side.
She's got his nose wide open. Yeah, I'm trying to think, yeah, so I would imagine... Yeah, it's definitely like a yeah, to do with suspicion, because like I said, like it's in that Fool in Love by Ike and Tina, and it's definitely like it's one of those things. It's just maybe it was just like a thing, like I don't know, black people said in the 60s, like it was just like a phrase that you do hear in blues records. I'll do a little bit of research while we're listening to it.
Maybe, well, let us know in the comments
if anyone has any idea. I'm going to do a little bit of research while we're listening to this. So this is the A side. So this side is more up tempo
and soulish, if I remember correctly.
Well, yeah, that B side definitely did not sound like a typical 1965 record. But then again, it's like it just sounded like something like a little bit dated already, you know, for that time period. Because again, it's like things moved so fast in the 60s. You know, every month the sound changed. So yeah, let's hear She's Got His Nose Wide Open by Ike Perry, or Terry, depending on who corrected the label. But on the other pressing, it's credited to Ike Perry. So I think someone just fixed it. It was probably him himself, who's like, oh, crap, all my records say the wrong names, who sat there just putting a P. All right, She's Got His Nose Wide Open.
Got it.
mixed this record failed.
What do you mean?
Because it's missing something, and I realized, I'm like, oh, does it even have bass? It does.
It does.
It's so, so buried. And but
I was going to say the same thing.
I had to focus. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. We always think the same thing. But I was listening. It's a great bass line. He's playing.
You're reading my mind.
He's playing the shit out of it. It's just it's so
super
low.
Busy bass. Like he must have been tired after this.
Oh,
after
man.
This track.
He's really working it out. And it's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
This record, it's thin. It's just really, really thin. It was mixed horribly, but it's like if that bass were further up and like if this record was remixed, it would sound way better. It's just like I could just imagine the problem with playing this record in a set would be it would be noticeable how thin it sounds compared to other records.
Well, We have, our ears are tuned.
Yeah.
I don't think for the average dancer it would make this much of a difference. You think so?
I don't
so?
Know.
Really?
I think just the overall, hey, we'll find out. Hey, who knows? We might be DJing together again real soon. So, just drop.
Stay tuned.
Dropped a hint there, maybe. So, got the nose wide open thing. So, from a quick Google search, another song that uses this line that is probably even more popular than A Fool in Love by Cantina is the song It's All Over Now, which was originally by the Valentinos, but was made huge by the Rolling Stones in 1964. Mm-hmm. They say it in that song too. So again, that song was written by Bobby Womack. It is also originally a black, you know, soul record from America. So it is, from the quick Google search, slang to have someone in love or infatuated with oneself, to be someone's object of affection. So it's just like a roundabout way of saying you're really into somebody. A person, most usually a male, is crazy in love or lust over a girl, will focus total attention on her, ignoring his friends, maybe a hint that she is exploiting him. So, yeah.
Because I paid very close attention to the lyrics while I was playing, and I couldn't get a clue.
Yeah. I think it's just like a very dated slang term that, you know, just based on the fact that it you hear it in R&B records. And I'm pretty sure there are other songs with this title, too. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but clearly, yeah, it was obviously like some sort of African, popular within the African American community.
For those hip cats back then.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like Ike Turner and Bobby Womack, who, you know, are, you know, well, I mean, you can say what you will about Ike Turner, but again, legendary in the sense that like these guys wrote classic songs and are pillars of rock and roll and rhythm and blues and gospel music. It's like if they were both using this sentence, then obviously, you know, it was something people were saying. On the Chitlin circuit.
But you have to agree, it's a true double-sider, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's great. Again, super doesn't sound 1965. You know, it really has that early 60s greasy R&B feel that, you know.
It has like a little gospel feel to it,
of course,
to also.
Yeah, definitely. It's really cool.
I don't know if you feel the same way when you discover a record that's really a true double-sider. I always feel I've spent my money well, because I got two for the price of one, basically.
Well, especially when it's two songs you can really use in a DJ set, because, I mean, I love the fact when it's like you have like a killer up-tempo soul record from 67, and then the B-side's a great ballad, you know, because I like both. But that works because, you know,
but
they're both definitely like R&B tracks, but they're like, you know, one's like a, you know, a gospel fast jiver, you know, and the other one's, you know, that more subdued kind of shuffly New Orleans sound, which, you know, it's great. You know, why not? Two different styles, but within an overarching style that is just early 60s rhythm and blues music.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to change it up?
I'm ready to spend some money.
Yeah, I think you're gonna like this one
because I haven't spent money. Well, yeah, the other one was to cover a debt.
Yeah, that was
on your part.
Well, this is the first one so far this episode that's actually for sale. Another one that I hope you don't have, because you do have a very extensive Latin Boogaloo selection.
Mm, my ears just perked up.
So this is on a label called Producciones Gemma. So Gemma Productions.
It says, I have a few Gemma records.
Okay, it says Boogaloo right on the label. It is called Ooh, It's Happening, Baby.
By let me see that.
Julio Gutierrez and Los Guajiros. Guajiros?
No, I don't think I have this. Yeah. No, I definitely don't have this.
So this came into my possession last week. It was not cheap. I had to pay. It's not something I found for peanuts or anything. And I bought it kind of without hearing it because I went, oh, God, that just looks so cool. Like, whatever.
You struck gold?
I got it. I put it on and I went, oh, I know where this is going. So, like, again, I do love this sound also, but you know what? Like, it's so, so, so much more your thing. And, like, even, you know, if I were to DJ, it's like, I mean, like, you know, when I was DJing heavily, I used to always play like I Like It Like That by Pete Rodriguez. And, mm-hmm. of course, you know, that had been actually funny. I think that was even before it was sampled by Cardi B. But, yeah, it's not as much my thing as it is yours. Kind of the same thing with, like, Jamaican stuff. Like, I love it. I love listening to it. I love when you DJ it. But, like, I'm not falling down that rabbit hole. I'll mm-hmm. leave that to you. So
it's weird because I the Gemma records I own, the label is different. This one, like the font is like bold.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones I have, like it's a lot smaller, and I think it's inside a circle or something. It's
actually kind of funny.
What are you comparing it to?
It's the same, like it's the same font, like the numbers
as the
record we just listened to. It's just a typical New York City area. Pressing a lot.
The label.
Oh yeah, like the Gemma thing at the top.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely New York, Bronx, like, you know, immigrants from, I don't know, where were these guys? Where were they been from? Cuba?
Cuba, maybe. Yeah, yeah. There was Boogaloo in Cuba.
But just the name, too. Like
Central America, also.
Definitely. And obviously, New York was the epicenter for that kind of music. Because I feel like the New York sound, like Joe Batan and Joe Cuba and all that. It's like, that was really... Yeah,
Watermelon Man was
recorded Mongo Santa Maria.
Was recorded in New York.
It's like, all... Like, that music is... It's, like, very much American Latin music. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it was popular in Cuba and the islands in Central America, but I feel like that flavor, like it's soul inflected, like Willie Bobo. It's like, that's really like American Latin music.
Well, the dead giveaway is that the title is in English.
Yeah, exactly. And like all the records they made in English, like, but you know, like the whole, like the Boogaloo thing was very
Joe
much,
Cuba.
Yeah. Super like New York, like, you know, obviously you had bazillion Latin Americans living there and the Bronx and whatnot. This is a record Barry Soltz probably has like 40 copies of. shout out to our friend Barry from the Bronx. Anyway, it's called Ooh, It's Happening, Baby. Like, how's that not going to be the best thing you've ever heard?
So it's already sold, Julio, and I haven't heard of
Julio Gutierrez and Los Guajiros. Let's do it.
Temperatures rising, baby. It's not surprising.
To my ears, this is not pure boogaloo. It's Latin soul with a tinge of boogaloo. So here's why I like it.
Yeah.
It's a perfect like transition record between, like, if, you know, if I'm in a soul set, then I want to move towards pure boogaloo. This is perfect.
And I love how, like, each side, like, the songwriters, it's like Abelardo Valdez and Bob Marcus. And then on the other side, Julio Gutierrez and Bernice Schupak. So it's like my people, the Jews, had to give themselves a little bit of writing credit on each side. Like, yeah, like those two Jewish people wrote those songs.
But
It's cool. I just, like, when I got it, I put it on. I was like, man, that's just like, it's a good recording too.
Yep.
Like, it's really full. I love that little, like, chicken picking guitar thing he does at the end. It's just really good.
It threw me for a loop when I heard that female voice chime in. I went, oh, that's
well,
interesting.
I guess, yeah, what is she credited? Vocals, India de Oriente. What a cool name. And Norma Scary. I don't know. Cool record. I thought you'd really dig that.
I do. And my first thought that went through my mind when I started listening to it is, I can't wait to DJ this.
And I can't wait to hear you DJ it. So should I throw you one more?
Yeah, well, speaking of DJing, I have to give a shout out to Josh and Aaron.
Josh and Aaron.
That are getting married very soon.
Going to the chapel, and we're going. Except they're not going to a chapel.
No, they're going to a temple. So it's going to be my second Jewish wedding.
Hey, Mazel Tov.
So shout out to them.
That's why I brought you two copies of Chava Negila. My wife makes fun of me because I say Chava, it's Chava. Chava Negila.
Well, I'm glad you told me so. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Sound like a fool.
Yeah, well, whatever.
So, and I feel like I'm as excited as they are that I'm going to DJ their wedding.
Yeah, you seem pretty excited.
And
well, they hired you, so obviously they have a good taste in music.
They contacted me through the Addicted to the Needle Instagram page.
Hey, cool.
And they used to come to the Mod Club at Bar de Courcelles.
Yes.
So I always make it very clear what type of DJ for a wedding I am.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, I only play 45s. If I have it in my collection, I'll play it. But once I'm there.
Or if they give you enough notice, you can get.
Oh, yeah. I've bought records just for weddings.
Sure. I know you have, yeah.
So, because once I'm there, I'm not going to plug in a cell phone, no iPhone. I don't have the plug.
You're not playing I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
I could if I had it on 45, but I don't. So, because I played some 80s and some, disco.
I found some NSYNC 45s last week. And actually, one of our listeners, Gabe Besaw, bought it off of me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I need to talk to him about that.
Maybe he's doing a wedding.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. So I told them, even if it's a bit last minute, shoot me a want list.
Yeah,
requests, and I'll make sure I have them. So they went on. I think they went on Spotify and listened to some soul, and he sent me a spreadsheet of all. Josh sent me a spreadsheet of all the requests.
Awesome.
And if I had to do my wedding over, I'd use his list.
I kind of wish I was invited to this Jewish wedding so I could. I kind of want to hear you spin. Maybe I'll show up and stand outside. I'll just put on a kippah. I've already got the beard. I'll just say I'm a lost rabbi.
Or you could be my assistant.
Hey, maybe.
Because I think they do listen to the podcast, so
sure.
They're fans.
Come on, Ben Shulman at a Jewish wedding. Come on, why not?
So they did send me a list of and a mix of the classics
yeah
and and some obscure, like more obscure Northern Soul. So, you know, they asked for the Metro, Since I Found My Baby.
Nice.
And
Cliff Nobles. That song to me just screams Jewish Union.
Does it?
No. Okay. Since I Found My Baby. I don't know, like Since I Had My Mitzvah. Like, maybe.
So we were very, very in sync about awesome. You know what they want. They asked for Mod Revival too, and some reggae and rocksteady. So, I mean, this is the dream job for me. It won't even be hard. The only hard thing is going to be going through my whole collection to find the records that they asked for.
Yeah, you've got a lot of records, man. And
so
those bright cases.
So I'm organized in the sense that, you know, I know what the genre of every box is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I have 10 boxes of soul, I have to find it there.
You only have 10 boxes?
No.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
More like 20 or 30.
Yeah.
But, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
That's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Start of March.
Fantastic. I got one more for you. Before we sign off, I think this might be the oldest record we'll have ever featured on this show.
Ooh.
It's from 1953, and it is a song for your alcohol suite. It doesn't have alcohol in the title, but it is it's about a place to drink. It is called Hole in the Wall by bluesman Floyd Dixon.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
See, I lost a few auctions lately.
Yeah.
And they were alcohol related, and I didn't win them.
Well, now you're going to get a dose of alcohol record right now.
The one I'm thinking about was a track called Looped.
What?
Looped.
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 Like, is that just like a different way of saying
drunk? You're drunk. Yeah.
Looped. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's by listening to it that I figure out how it could go.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta, because this one too, I was re-listening to it this morning. I just got another copy of it, which is odd that I've had two of these records. It's so old and did not come out in Canada. And for a record from 1953, it's an astonishing collection. And it belonged to someone named Mo. Mo. And it says he wrote his name on this side too in pink pen. I listened to it again this morning.
That's a beautiful copy.
It's insane. For something that's 1953, it's 71 years old, this record. And it's in like astonishingly beautiful condition.
Aside from Mo.
But hey, Mo took care of it.
Yes, he did.
So it's on the Specialty label, which obviously a couple of years later, by a couple, I mean 2-3 years later, you know, you had Little Richard and Larry Williams, and, you know, Specialty became a huge, huge, you know, label because of those guys. And a lot of the stuff on Specialty, so it was an LA label. What was the guy who ran it? And he's still alive. He's like 99 years old. Art something, and he's an old Jewish guy, big surprise. A lot of the stuff was recorded in New Orleans at Cosimo's Matassa. I can't never remember how to say his name, but he was this Italian Greek guy who had a recording studio in New Orleans, and this label was based out of Los Angeles. So it's I think Floyd Dixon was probably from New Orleans. I don't know. I'm kind of just making a lot of stuff up right now. I'll do a little bit of research, but I just figured you'd probably enjoy this. And I don't think we've ever featured anything as old as 53 on the show.
Some rock and roll.
Maybe. I mean, 55 for sure, but 53, it's like this predates, like, this came out before anything by Elvis was available to the public. So that's old.
Right.
So you ready to hear Hole in the Wall by Floyd Dixon?
I'm thirsty.
The real
I find it very New Orleans.
Oh yeah,
vibes.
So I looked it up. Floyd Dixon was born in Marshall, Texas, which is like right on the border of Louisiana. Yeah, this was most likely. I couldn't find any info in my quick search, but yeah, I'm sure this was recorded in New Orleans. And it's,
I might have something else by Floyd Dixon.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I've got some records from him from the 60s. Like he was around. I think he lived, I think, until like 2020 or something. Like he was around for a long time. Kind of just predates like the mainstream rock and roll era, but it's like very of its time. And it's kind of cool how it's like about like a secret drink, kind of like a, you know, a speakeasy, mm-hmm. you know, like the hole in the wall. He does reference drinking wine.
Speakeasies were from that era too. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, I mean, this was only like, you know, 20 years after the end of Prohibition, you know, it's like, it is crazy to think that that country went through that. And just to, so the guy who started Specialty Records, just to catch us up from what I was saying before. So his name was Art Roop. But his real name was Arthur Goldberg. Big surprise. He lived until he was 104.
Wow.
He died in 2022. He was born in 1917. And he started this record label in 1946. You know, blues and jazz and gospel and soul label. So
this
cool.
is pure rhythm and blues with a, you know, a emphasis on blues.
Yeah. Definitely.
I love that early sound. It's just pure to me.
It is what it is. There's no tricks. It's just straight to the point. It's there's, you know, it was probably a one take thing, you know, and these guys, like, you have to bear in mind like the talent of these musicians back then, where it's like they were playing these songs all day every day. You know, and this, not just the blues and jazz, just like not just the blues and soul musicians, the even like the everyone, like the Beatles. I mean, like, you know, they got so good because they just played constantly. They weren't distracted by Twitter, you know. So yeah, so it was probably much easier to, like, you know, conduct recording sessions back then. And this is just yeah, it's just of its time. It's, you know, early
and that
50s.
That piano also, yeah, is very distinctive of, yeah, that era too.
It's, yeah, it's, you know, it's 53. It's like, it's still so time wise it's so close to, like, you know, a very, well, I mean, even
the birth of rock and roll,
the birth of rock and roll, but even, like, you know, you think of like that time for African-American people in the Jim Crow South, it's like, this is like really that. Yeah, it's.
I can picture myself in a smoky speakeasy, yeah, with a, you know, a fedora on. And
yeah, dressed in like a. Did a they wear zoot suits? Yeah. Yeah. See, I was. Yeah, yeah.
And wig tips,
like,
and
those like striped suits with like the big pants. Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. It's really cool. It's like, it's amazing how, like, I find like a record like that really transports you, like, in your head to that, you know, period of time. But it is fun. It's like how we just featured, like, you know, a Latin thing from the Bronx, and then we're talking about a record from the Deep South, you know. It's,
and then we went all the way to like 70s funk.
Yeah, we really we then, do, you know, sometimes I think we don't cover enough ground on this show, and like, yes we do. Like, it's still within the confines of, like, you know, their records from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But, I mean, hey, we featured a funk record from 1970, and this is 17 years before that.
And a space-age freak beat.
Yeah, from Belgium.
From Belgium.
Or whatever. So, yeah, we covered a lot today. I think we did pretty good.
And a novelty record.
Yeah, Hungry We A Go-Go. And speaking of Hungary, it's about that time to wrap up the old podcast. I see you got one last record. I guess we're going to finish off with...
Speaking of covering ground.
Ooh.
So we're going to finish off with some pure Northern soul.
Straight.
Unmistakable.
Four on Northern the floor, soul. Northern soul.
Classic. This came from New Jersey, and this is one of the records I bought that was always on my want list. It's not... You know, it's not a cheap record.
Yeah, but it was probably one of the cheaper ones from that
it
trip.
It was one of the cheaper ones, and you see it every once in a while. So
I'm sure. I think I have like a beat up copy I once found, like, in Canada. Like, so it comes. It's around. It's not the rarest thing, but it's freaking good.
But it, you know, it's the type of stuff you heard at the Wigan Casino. you know, at the Torch, and it's just
all of these places. As Canadian people, we have nothing to do with. But hey, you know what? You got to give it up for those British guys because they did a very good job of keeping this obscure soul music very relevant.
Probably played hundreds of times at the Twisted Wheel, and but it's just good.
Oh yeah.
So. I'll let you introduce. Well, here's my description.
Your little blurb.
Northern Soul Classic on the B-side from the New Jersey band.
Yeah, what's on the A-side? So, wait, so the side we're playing is I Love You, Baby. What is the A-side? Now I'm in trouble.
Produced I have no idea what
the Howard Fowles and Tom Wilson. Oh, I wonder if that's the same Tom Wilson, like the... Yeah, actually it is, because he left Columbia and went to Verve. So Tom Wilson... produced like Bob Dylan. Yeah. And he produced like a Rolling Stone, and then I believe he left Columbia and went to MGM, Verve, MGM, same company. So that's kind of a cool little factoid. Wow, brand new copy. Looks like
every other record from that collection.
Yeah, my God. I get over like what, how many
it's
records.
It's going to take us a while.
Yeah, it's nuts. This has been a fun episode. Covered a lot of ground, played some good records. We're still milking that New Jersey stuff. Yeah, go follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and rate us. I don't know. Isn't that good if people rate the podcast?
You know, on Spotify or Apple Podcast or...
Yeah, tell a friend.
Google Podcast.
Listen to Addicted to the Needle. It's a great podcast. I'm on Instagram, Shulman the Soul Man. I try to post stuff and buy records for me. I'm the company sleeve on Discogs. I think I have 24,000 45s for sale. So if you can't find one you want, well, then that sucks.
And it's going to make you a deal.
I'll make you a deal. If you want to buy records from me and you send a message and say you listen to the podcast.
Automatic discount.
I will knock off 2%.
At a zero.
Come on. Oh, yeah. What a putz. 20's a little high. Anyway. Okay. Anyway. Buy records for me. Why not? Thanks for listening. We are going to wrap up now and say farewell to the sound of the Ambers with I Love You, Baby from what, 66? 67?
I didn't write it on
there. You did. 1966. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
And keep on keeping on.
Your arms.